Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Oh, clap your hands for the choir. Oh, especially those of you who struggle to sing, oh, clap properly. I appreciate what they're doing. Well, it's time for the Word of God. And like I always say, when we come into the house of God, the Word of God is really the highlight. Everything else is to prepare us and to get us ready. And today, we are about to receive the Word of God. And I trust that you will be spoken to and you'll be met at the point of your need. We are privileged to have a very seasoned servant of God to minister the Word of God to us, preached all over the world, assisted our father prophet on the Healing Jesus missions, and been in the ministry for a very long time. Pastored the people who have been appointed and ordained here. And today we have the privilege of hearing him preach to us. Ladies and gentlemen, why don't you stand to your feet with me as a sign of honor? Clap your hands and join me, and let's welcome the Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Come on, clap your hands properly.
Oh, Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, as we approach your word, we ask you to speak to us in these few minutes. Thank you for a beautiful ceremony. Thank you for destinies rearranged. Thank you for your will being done. Thank you for your power that has been supplied to make ministry possible. Let your word come as rain. Let it come as a sunshine to the leaves, so they will be evergreen. Let your word come as strength to the weak. Let it come as hope to the hopeless. Thank you for the beauty of your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. You may please be seated. You know, we've had a very beautiful ceremony. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? And I want to congratulate all our new pastors, Pastor Dennis, Pastor William, Pastor Dominic, Lady Pastor Delight, Lady Pastor Celestine, Lady Pastor Gifty Gifts, Lady Pastor Nana Sewa, Lady Pastor Ami, Pastor Michael, Pastor Raymond, and all of you, Lady Pastor Fanny AC Atapites. Clap your hands and let's appreciate them. And I also want to congratulate Lady Reverend Dr. Lorraine Boateng, Lady Reverend Susan, is it Abna? Wow, today the names have come out. Abna Akins, let's appreciate, I didn't know you were Martha. Hey, Lady Pastor Rosemary Martha Osafo Mahama. Lady Reverend, clap your hands for Lady Reverend. And then, Lady, do you have any English name or you are going to hide it somewhere? Let's appreciate Lady Reverend Na Kokoi Osei Poku. And it's nice to see people who began a journey many, many, many years ago, decades literally ago, and are still actively serving God. And for the few minutes, you know, we've spent a lot of time here. And I don't intend to keep you here. I want to share with you a message whose title is this. This is a book written by our pastor, Bishop Dagwood Mills. It says, make yourselves saviors of men. Make yourselves saviors of men. And this is a very fantastic teaching, born from Obadiah's prophecy in verse 21. It was a short prophecy, unlike Isaiah's many, many, many chapters. And in verse 21, Obadiah prophesied. I believe he saw today, and he saw thousands of years ahead, that saviors were coming to Mount Zion. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, this is Mount Zion. The church is Mount Zion. And he said, saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, the Mount of the profane, the Mount of the godless, and the Mount of the honorless. Saviors shall come. And I'm happy that the S there is a small S, because it's not referring to Jesus Christ. When a cow gives birth, we don't expect to see a cat. That is in Indian movies and Nigerian movies. It's in Nigerian movies that a human being can give birth to a bird. But on a normal day, a human being gives birth to human beings. A snake gives birth to snakes. That is why a savior cannot give birth to businessmen. A savior cannot give birth to university lecturers. A savior cannot give birth to doctors. Thank God for lecturers and doctors. Some of you have gone to school and you have allowed your education to make you a disappointment to God. A savior does not give birth to lawyers. Paul in his writing said, does nature not even teach you? So we expect lessons from nature. So in the Bible, we find many similes. Ye are trees planted by the rivers of water. As an eagle you saw. Eagles don't move with lizards. Ladies and gentlemen, nature teaches us that a goat gives birth to goats. So we are not surprised that Obadiah prophesied that a savior will give birth to saviors. That's the message for today. Make yourselves. You see, it's very painful to go to London and buy an amplifier, a CD player, speakers, to come to Ghana with it, connect it, only for it not to play music. Especially when you bought it for a ceremony the following week. It's very painful to go to America to buy an iPhone. And when you come and you take it out of the box, as you are charging it, it explodes. When you spend money to buy something, it's fair. It's just fair that it delivers the function for which you spend time and energy. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been bought with a price. Now, I'm talking to those who are Christians. If you've come for this ceremony from Anglican, I want to welcome you. Anglican Church. If you've come from the Methodist Church, this is your home. If you are from Ellen Pentecostal, you are welcome to this service. And as for the Roman Catholics, we wish you would never go because we love you. The Lord bless the Assemblies of God brothers who are with us today. And those from Pilgrim's Holiness. But wherever you came from, please listen to me. If you identify with Jesus, then he gave birth to you to be a savior of men. Did I hear someone say that ignorance of the law is no excuse? Is it a real statement? Are you sure that if I'm driving without my license and I'm stopped, or my license has expired, and I tell the policeman that I didn't know that I needed to renew my license. Am I still guilty? I didn't know that I had to renew my license. Will I still be arrested? He will say, let's go. Oh, so not knowing something is no excuse. But I'm happy that today you are hearing these English words from me. That as a child of God, you must make yourself a savior of men. A savior of men. I stand here to mournfully declare that the church is a disappointment to God. It's a disappointment. God looks at the church and can't recognize the church. Is this a church? Is this a church? Because for him, the characteristic of a church is a place where people are prepared to save souls. Because you see, what you may not know is that Jesus did not come to the world to make us rich bankers. I mean, you can know something by its name. A name. Just by the name, you know that if this is a piano, you know that you can't use it to microwave your food. Just by the name. Just by the name. That if this is a pair of shoes, that you can't use it as a spoon to eat. So we know who Jesus is by his name. The name. See, when we know the name, we cease to debate. When you know the name, we cease to argue whether he came to give us pregnancies and boost our sperm count. Did Jesus come to boost our sperm count? Did he come to give us visas? You will know what Jesus came to do by his name. And Matthew beautifully spelt it out in verse 21 of chapter 1. He said, a virgin shall bring forth a son. I hope I'm speaking to somebody who believes in the centrality of God's word and not the opinions of men. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall empower politicians to win elections. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall give success to students in their exams. My dear friend, let's not waste our time. Let's not waste our time. Jesus' name, the name on him, that name Jesus, is there. This is the colon. For he shall save his people. Not from lack of education. When he was born, there was a lack of education. There were no roads. There was no electricity. There was poverty. There were poor people. There were lepers. But his name was that he will save people, not from their diseases or from their debt, but from their sins. This business of massaging the word of God and representing God's thoughts only makes you an accursed thing. That's Jesus. He knows our sperm count is low. Yes. He knows your tubes are blocked. He knows you need to give birth. He's aware that you are a 42-year-old girl and no man is coming to say he loves you. Once a while, he opens tubes. Once a while, he boosts our sperm counts. Once a while, he puts some supernatural pregnancies in our stomach. But Jesus did not come to the earth to give us pregnancies. When you employ a secretary and she serves you tea, that does not mean you employed her to give you tea. Don't turn Jesus into what he is not. At the base of his ministry was saving of people. Not from their poverty. No. Yeah. It sounds nice. And when we walk with God, you know, can you sit down? Let me finish the message. When you follow God, you follow God's word. Just obeying God's word can make you rich. I mean, just obeying God's word that don't do this. Because, I mean, as I'm speaking now, there's a young man here who has begun to pay money for a lady to do antenatal. Now, all the money for the antenatal and the baby and all the things and outdooring and the baby school, all these things are unplanned. It was from a night of fornication. One night of fornication. So obeying God's word can save you money. So you actually make savings. Have they seen a brother sitting somewhere? I don't want to point in his direction. I mean, this week, he has paid about 10,000 Ghana cedis on something he shouldn't have paid for. He should have been fasting on a particular day. And he chose to look for banku and okra to eat. Now, I'm saying that if you obey God, he actually makes you rich. Yeah, you can actually have money and be a wealthy man by just obeying the word of God. Can you imagine the money I have? If I spend that money on 7 wives and 28 children. I couldn't have bought my pair of shoes. I'd have been preaching to you here in slippers. No, I'm saying that one of the acts of the devil is to lead you on campaigns to waste your life. And he took his journey to a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. I'm talking about the man with 2 sons. So there's no argument that when we walk with God, we count more money. Oh yes. Yes. That when we walk with God, you can even look more handsome. Yes. Because the stress of 4 girls getting money for antenatal, this one is getting money for iPhone, all those, just by being holy, I'm now with my wife. So all these girls who have been collecting money, I'm can't you see I'm peaceful? I look peaceful. But Jesus did not come to the earth to give us good health. But by following him, you can walk in good health. Can you sit down? You are blocking some people, somebody at the back. It's difficult to sit. You can't sit down. You are in a church service, you can't sit down. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet. So I can understand why they are standing. There's a type of spirit. When it enters you, you can't sit down. Ladies and gentlemen, Isaiah the prophet began his writings with disappointment, a lamentation God was using Isaiah to express his brokenness. It's because you can break God's heart. Very early in his writings, in chapter 5, he told a story. Isaiah 5, verse 1. He said, I will sing a song to my well-beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He fenced it. I said, it's painful to buy a microwave for Malcolm and plug it only for it to explode. It's painful. He fenced it and gathered out the stones and planted it with the choicest vine. Choices. You may not know, but a child of God is made of the choicest stock. The choicest vine. And built a tower in the midst of it. And also made a wine press. Look at it. Vineyard. Fenced it. Choicest plants. A wine press in the midst of it. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes. But it brought forth wild grapes. Some of you sitting here are wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you. Betwixt me and you and my vineyard, between me and my vineyard, what could have been done more to my vineyard? Some of you sitting here, you should have died by now, but God healed you. God kept you. Some of you should never count in your lifetime. You know where you were born, where you were raised, and how it's God's mercy. He used people, circumstances. Today you can count money. You have a house. You have two houses. Some of you shouldn't have the job you have. All these are God's way of showing that he loves you, that you are his vineyard. I know a man, after 3 children, did a test and realized that even the testicles were exospermic. Couldn't produce sperms. So you may think that his wife therefore went to sleep with another man for the children. No. When they did the DNA typing, he was the father of the children. He was the father. It's a miracle. So ideally, that man should be walking about without a child. But God's mercy, round one, mercy, round two, mercy, round three, only for you to turn up into a wild, proud person. You speak as if you made yourself. What more could I have done that I have not done? I want to ask you, what should God do? I know you don't have a car. You must have walked from the junction. But your two kidneys are working. Okay. Somebody has a very brand new car here. He can't find kidneys to buy. Pakistan has failed. Afghanistan has failed. India has failed. We are now trying America. $200,000. The car is there. So we don't look at life based on what we don't have. But we look at life based on what God has done. What has he done for you? What has he not done for you? What more could I have done? When I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. So what should I do? And now, go to. I'll tell you what I will do. What will I do to my vineyard? I will take away the hedge. I'm prophesying to someone here that a certain protection you've enjoyed from God is going to be taken away. You see, many, many years ago, I don't remember the number of years, but some of you will remember, a part of America was flooded. Louisiana, there was an area, the floods. And then the report came that some embankments, some levees, had lost their integrity and had collapsed. So the sea took over. Huge lands and cities. So I said to myself, so all these years that these guys have been there without any flood, it's not because there was no sea. You see, your life as it is now, it's not because there's no offending agent or there's no enemy or nobody is looking for you. But God has built an embankment that is preventing. Sometimes we look at ourselves and feel great and good. That's why he told the rich fool, thou fool, tonight, I'll require your life from you. That's when he got to know that, hey, it's not vitamins. It's not waking up from Ayi Mensa to Ebri every Saturday. But there's a power that is staving off evil from my life. The day God removes the embankments, the day God withdraws his covering, that is when you will know that there is evil. But I don't think you need God to remove his covering. While it is called today, while it is well with your soul. I love that song which says, go labor on. Spend and be spent. My dear friends, it will be painful to continue this because it's not good. I will take away the head and it shall be eaten up. It shall be eaten up. Some of you, your sons should have been eaten up by drugs, eaten up by sexual perversions. Oh, yes. You could easily have a son who one day comes home and is wearing high heels. Your son is wearing high heels. But God has saved you. God has prevented all this. Today you can call your grandson. You can call your granddaughter. Your child couldn't pass exams in school, but at least he's not on drugs.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
It's painful to buy a microwave, and when you put your frozen chicken, it stays in it for 2 days. Disappointment is painful. And the church has disappointed God. I want to end by telling you, I now know. Let me tell you, when you see a man fencing a large tract of land, planting the choicest crops, building a watch tower, building a wine press, you can easily be deceived into thinking that man has only love. The only thing in him is generosity. You didn't get the point I was trying to make. When you see someone making an effort to invest in something, you may think the only thing the person knows to do is to pour money into something. But it's not true. A day comes when you don't live up to your billing. I'm not talking to these pastors here. I'm talking to you at the back. I'm talking to you today. A savior gave birth to you. So you are a savior. That's why in one of these chapters, The Great Commission according to Mark. Look at it. Mark 16, as I end. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared to the 11. And as they sat at meat, he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Verse 15. And he said unto them, and that's where we end today. Congratulations once again, Lady Reverends. Congratulations, Lady Pastors. Congratulations, my Christian brother, my Christian sister. You've stayed with God. But these are the words of Jesus. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. My dear friends, today as we end the service, I don't want you to exclude yourself from this instruction. The church Jesus said he was going to build was going to be a going church. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, ye are ambassadors of Christ. No one is exempted. The great commission to preach the gospel is not for full-time pastors. You work in the bank. You are a university lecturer. Aren't you a lecturer?
Yes, please.
Yes, you are. Are you not working in the bank? Yes. But when it comes to your responsibilities in God, we don't have to bring the bank in. No. You see, God sent Jesus. And when I was doing my master's at Trinity, I learned that there are two types of Jesus. There is a historical Jesus, Jesus of history. And there's also the Christ of faith. And there are schools of thought. Is the historical Jesus the Christ of faith? All this nonsense. But I want to tell you today, you can't see out there but the world out there only knows of a Jesus who came to die 2,000 years ago. The world knows only about the historical Jesus. The Jesus of history. So when God builds his church, he has a mind to raise an army that goes out and convert that historical Jesus to a living Jesus who saves, who converts, who heals and delivers. He depends on the church. Can we all say the church? The church. The church. The church. Oh, the church. The church. The church. The The church. That's why his first word was go. Because according to Mark, the Great Commission is a commission to go. It's not to stay. I'm happy I have people I can send. I've been sent here. I was sent. 30 years ago, I was a pastor in Mata Echo. 30 years ago. But I was sent. My pastor sent me. He said, move from there and go to Kolegono. Go to Adenta. Go to OEB. I've spent 30 years of my life being sent because it's a dangerous thing for you not to be sent. To say, even nature teaches us that a sedentary life is a life that is going to give you a diabetes type 2, essential hypertension, the cancers, just by sitting in one place. Nature teaches us that sitting in one place is death. It's a death sentence. People travel for 12 hours on the plane. The plane lands, they go home only to die. Because it's not good. It's not good. Not to move. It's not a good thing not to move. It's not a good thing not to move. It's not a good thing not to move. My sister, it's not a good thing. Even medicine teaches us that you got to move. And spiritually, it's not a good thing not to move. It's not a good thing not to move. If you're a child of God, your movements, if Google tracks your movements and he sees that 100% of your movements are for your education, your job, your office, your business trip, your this, that, and there's no movement that is kingdom of God related, you are a disappointment to God. When Paul went to Athens, he saw them that they were worshiping many idols. Many idols. They had the temples of Artemis, Diana, and men. But as he walked through town, he saw an altar. And they had written on the altar, to the unknown God. He said, wow, I've got these guys. If they have an altar to the unknown God, then I can use that unknown God to preach to them. That you have Diana, you have this, you have that. But there's also you yourself. You are all worshiping an unknown God. That unknown God is the God I'm here to talk to you. And can you believe it? He said, for I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And as he was describing this unknown God, he said, as your own poets have said, in him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. Christian friend, go to school. Go to work. Visit your friend. Visit your sisters. Do your business. But part of your movement should be a movement to save a soul, to check on a Christian, to pray for someone who is sick, to check on somebody. If your movements are only movements to yourself, then you are not different from the animals around us. Today, God calls us to go. That's why I'm ending by telling these guys, go. I prayed and I said, well, that this appointment will not turn you into some retiree who comes to church, sits at the back, admires the choir, gives a nod of approval, and just checks on, oh, wow, I think the instrumentalist played well. No! Go! Go somewhere. Go and stand somewhere and preach the gospel. Who else should preach the gospel? Who should preach the gospel? Paul told the Romans, how can they hear? How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach if they have not been sent? Look, church, listen to this. This is breaking news. The church is unlike any other institution. You see, the bank exists to even cause the church to exist. Today's offering we are taking will be sent to the bank. Offerings in the church, tithes, the bank. So the bank is important. And it plays its role of keeping our money. The university is not a place for devils. We were trained there. We are graduates. University of Ghana alone has taken 14 years of my life. 14. Studying, not lecturing. Studying. 14. The university is the reason why today we are pastors who can speak English. So the university exists to advance the cause of the church. Oh yes. Oh yes. The military is important. But for the police and the military, we would have been run over roughshod by devils and thieves and robbers. But when they come and they see a sentinel standing there, at least it ministers some sense that if you try, you won't go home tonight. Clap your hands for the military. They are helping us. Parliament exists to help the church. Yes. Parliamentarians are there to help the church. By their decisions and their legislations and their deliberations, we have peace of mind. At least we have haircuts and a few things going on. I mean, life is normal. Ladies and gentlemen, the church has also its role. Do you want to know what the church should do? And it grieves God when he sees a church trying to do the work of a university. The university exists to teach accounting, to teach engineering. They're teaching it. Engineering, medicine, law, and all classics. They're all there. And they're working. As I'm speaking, there are lecturers marking papers. Yeah. The only institution not doing its work is the church. Today we see pastors. You don't know whether they are lecturers. One top chief executive. Top chief executive. A Ghanaian. He went to a church just like this. I think it was a ceremony. He wasn't a member of the church. He also went there for a ceremony. And when he sat there, the pastor was preaching about finances and economy and all kinds of things. Ah, but if this is the church, then I can be a pastor. No, if the church is to preach about governmental things and so on, he expected that the church will talk about Jesus. The church will talk about hell and heaven and sin and the blood of Jesus. That's what the church exists to do. He said, when you go, preach the gospel. Don't go and preach economics. Preach the gospel. I want to tell anyone here who has any affiliation with the church. A church is not a place we go to sit and dance and sing hymns and give tacit approval of sermonettes and sermons. A Christian must preach Jesus. Yes. Old and young, preach Jesus. Oh, yeah, some of us have got a stage and a microphone and a crowd. But you know, the greatest conversions in the Bible were not conversions that were made by preaching to 5,000, but one on one, you, I, one. Go and find one person by the well, one person under a tree. Say, Zacchaeus, come down. You don't change people by preaching to thousands. Real salvation, real conversions is one on one. Go somewhere and find someone. My dear friend, I told you, I'm not preaching to the appointees. I'm not preaching to the ordinance. I'm talking to you, a Christian. Go somewhere. Stop fornicating with them. And preach to them. Sir, stop drinking beer with them. And preach to them. Yes, their destiny is in your hands. Their destiny is in your hands. One day you will die and you will stand before God and you say, I gave you this group. Only you could have told them about me. I brought this person into your life. So the person through you might hear the gospel. Today, as we close, the message is simple. Make yourself saviors of men. Make yourself. Let there be somebody in your life. Pastors, didn't he appoint you to be wearing yellow? No. Jesus said the harvest is plenty. Plenteous. The laborers are few. Few laborers. That's why some of us have left our profession. And we are in the church as if we've not been to school. As if we don't know how to count money. As if we don't understand dollars. But I'm telling you that there is a demand. There's a demand on you as a Christian. As a Christian, you have friends, you have colleagues, you have relatives. Share the gospel. Preach Jesus. Preach Jesus. Preach Jesus. Preach Jesus. Pastors, preach Jesus. Don't preach government. Don't preach economics. Don't preach money. Preach Jesus. Preach the blood of Jesus. Because at the end of the day, what Jesus came to do was to save us from our sins. And did you know that money cannot save a man from his sins? Academic qualifications cannot deliver a man from devils. Only the name of Jesus. And today, I want to ask you, can God depend on you? I want to ask you, are you aware? Please, excuse me. Are you aware that you have been fenced? Are you aware that there's a wine press? There's a watchtower? Are you aware of the investments God has made? Look around carefully. Not everybody is in church. Not everybody is in church. Majority of the world's population is outside the church. And God sends you. He says, I've cared for you. I have loved you. You said you wanted a husband. I've given you a husband. Even if he's beating you, it's okay once in a while. But I've given you a husband. Whatever you wanted, I've given it to you. I'm now calling on you. Souls are crying. Men are dying. Won't you go? You mean you can't tell someone that God loves you? That Jesus loves you? You've allowed your life to be defined by money? Really? Wow. You've allowed your life to be defined by position and social status and all that, that. There's no little Christ in you to even dispense to the nearest hungry soul. You're all made up of money and things and souls are dying. That's why I want to end by pointing to you now. Ordinance and appointees. Don't look to your left. As you live your life, you'll find some people who are not bothered. Don't follow them. Don't follow your colleagues in the office. God called you. He always, from Abraham, he singles people out. He called Abraham out, Isaac out, even Jesus out. I hope you know that Jesus had brothers, but there's only one Jesus. Don't let the ambivalence, don't let the disconnect you see around you minister to you. Keep your engine on. Keep your fire burning. A day will come. Jesus will come. And he will ask you, what did you do with the privilege I gave you? Don't say your brother was not interested. Your friend was not interested. God is calling us individually. Individually. And today I'm asking, will you respond? Will you make yourself a savior of men? Will you go? Or you are allowing your problems? And Paul said in Romans 8, said, I am convinced, I am persuaded that nothing, nothing shall separate me from the love of God in Christ. Poverty, principalities, pleasures, height, depth, angels, nothing, nothing, nothing. A day will come, you are going to count houses like you are counting money. Don't let it take you off Christ. Don't let it separate you from Christ. A day will come, you will have dollar bank account. Don't let it separate you from Christ. A day will come, you will have a husband with children. Don't let it separate you from Christ. A day will come, you will have your first class. Don't let it separate you from Christ. Don't allow heights, depth, or any other creature to separate you. May God look to us and say, well done. You didn't disappoint me. You are faithful. You've kept the faith. You've run your race. You've done well. Pastors, Christians, till we die, let's keep preaching. Preach the word. In season, out of season. Build the church. Help. Help. The gospel to go to the nearest person. We don't need a historical Jesus. We need a living Jesus of faith. With power to save. Power to transform. Power to make sense of our lives. Power to change a godless man into a godly man. Power to change a drunkard into a sober man. Power to heal our minds, our hearts. May God help us and keep us serving him and doing his will. Amen. Let's rise to our feet.
Oh, what a way. What a way. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. What a way. Wow. Wow.
As we look.
As we look all around us.
Can you lift your hands and pray at this time? Just pray. Pray and ask the Lord.
Lord, use me.
If you are poor, pray.
Lord, use me.
If you are rich, pray. If you are young, pray.
Use me, Lord.
If you are old, pray.
Pray.
Use me, Lord.
Use me, Lord.
Use me,
Lord. Yes. Oh, Kadabasoni Mikama.
Use me, Manama. Make me a savior of men.
Yes, make me, Lord. Mazini mana 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 ma.
Hey,
make me, Lord. Makalaba zini moni mona. Use me, Lord. Vini mo shabelebe. Liba shani makadevo sepreni maha. Live shini makadava sonima. Oh Jesus,
let's bow our heads this morning.
Use me.
This afternoon, as we close. A beautiful service has come to an end. We are going home. But we can't go without me giving you the chance today to place your faith in Jesus. He loves you. You can start a new relationship with him today. You can. You can. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. That's not life. Life is not in abundance of degrees. Degrees at best will give you good jobs. Good jobs. Good jobs. And what is a good job? It only puts $20,000 a month in your hands. But there are things money cannot buy. I said there are things money cannot buy. There are some things only the mercy of God will deliver to you. As every head is bowed, I want to say, Pastor, please say a prayer with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. Whatever it means. I will even allow myself to be taught what this thing means. But I want to have a relationship with Jesus that I've not had till today. If you are here and you desire that I pray with you to place your faith in Christ, to respond to the Lord as your Savior. I don't know where you are, but if you can raise your hand and say, Pastor, I see your hand. I'll pray for you. I'll pray. That's the first step. I took this step 40 years ago. 40 years. I have never regretted. I want to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Christ. Lift your hand high above your head. Please. Above your head. If you were one person, the only person on earth, Jesus Christ would still have come to die. I don't know why you are. But you're saying, Pastor, as you were preaching, I was being drawn to God. Please pray with me. I want to settle it today. From today, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to walk with Jesus. Pastor, pray for me. I see your hand. Lift it high. I see your hand. It's a hand of surrender. And wherever you are, I don't know. Wherever you are, I want to say, Pastor, can I come forward? Yes. As your hand is lifted, come to me now. Come here. Come. Come here. Come to me. Clap your hands for them. I pray for you. Come. Come. I surrender all. I surrender all. Clap your hands for them as they come. Keep coming. They are coming. Keep clapping. God bless you, sir. Come to Jesus. Surrender your life to Jesus. A day will come. The Bible says, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess. But may it not be too late. Clap your hands for them. Let's clap and appreciate God. I want you to lift your two hands and let's pray. Please say this prayer after me. I'm so excited to see all of you in front here. Everybody has a day his life begins. And today you want to say after me, say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father,
I thank you for today.
I thank you for today.
I am a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
Yes, I am a sinner.
Yes, I'm a sinner.
I've gone far from you.
I've gone far from you.
I've lived my own life.
I've lived my own life.
But I realize today.
But I realize today.
It cannot continue.
It cannot continue.
I place my life in your hands.
I place my life in your hands.
Please receive me.
Please receive me.
Wash me.
Wash me.
I am dirty.
I am dirty.
I've done many sinful things.
I've done many sinful things.
Please wash me.
Please wash me.
With the blood of Jesus.
With the blood of Jesus.
Make me new.
Make me new.
Make me pure.
Make me pure.
Make me your child.
Make me your child.
I declare today.
I declare today.
I am born again.
I am born again.
I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
I'm starting all over again.
I'm starting all over again.
I'm starting all over again.
I'm starting all over
today,
again. Today.
Today. I ask you. Please keep me.
Please keep
preserve me.
Preserve me.
Let me live for you.
Let me live for
don't
you.
Break the fence.
Don't break the fence.
Around me.
Around me.
Protect me.
Protect me.
Keep me.
Keep me.
Preserve me.
Preserve me.
And help me.
And help me.
To love you.
To love you.
All the days of my life.
All the days of my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Clap your hands for them.
Thank you, Jesus.
Congratulations. Hallelujah. I'm very happy. You are now born again. You see, but it's not as simple as that. It's a life. It's a journey. It's a long life till you die. That's why I have these pastors. Look at them. The one on the right, they are waving. They are going to talk to you. They are going to counsel you. They are going to pray for you. They will visit you. If you have questions about your faith, you can ask them. They were also once like you. And somebody helped them. Now they are strong enough to help others. You too, one day, some of you will become pastors. Yes. Or you don't think you'll be a pastor. You can preach. So I want you to cooperate with them. They'll visit you. They will call you. They will bring you to church. Allow it. Because God wants to start a very nice life with you. It's a whole journey of experiences. But there's no life that is higher. The highest form of life is a life in Christ. Not a life with money or a life with degrees or a life knowing elephants. The highest, there's nothing above it. The highest life is a life lived in Christ. Yes. And you are privileged that today God has called you. So let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Jesus.
Let's go. Go to
thank
them.
You, Jesus.
And I don't like your hand clap.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, I don't Lord. Like your hand clap.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Keep clapping.
Oh, yes.
Keep clapping your hands.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord.
I want to welcome Bishop Kobe to close us.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenna Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.